with Joe, but I want to have some fun with Joe today. Like, we're going to do all of the perfunctory, you know, oh, what are you going to do without Craig Kimbrell? Like, we're going to do all of that stuff. But I have Joe here in person, so why not have fun with him, right? Like, isn't that what I'm supposed to do?
It is.
I am going to get to the car over here as quickly as I can and flip on your show, and I look forward to the two of you keep me company for much of my drive.
Yeah, have fun, man.
All right, well, we'll do our best. That is Connor and Dan, and this is Joe Madden. We are Sports Radio 670, The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station.
It's good to
see you. We're going to start things off after I tell you that this hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. You know what? Go see Northwestern. They got a good team this year. Go get your tickets because Ohio State's going to be in town. Iowa's going to be in town. NUSports.com is where you can get your tickets. Tony, Joe's here. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I'm here about the business. Ain't that right, Joe?
Joe Madden.
Which Cub wears the most cologne?
There's some guys, man, that when you if you give them a hug or whatever, it's almost like you can't even go see your wife right after that. She's going to be suspicious. I mean, some of these dudes really.
Manager for the Chicago Cubs.
You're trying to fool yourself into thinking that the oatmeal raisin is healthy. That's what people try to do. It's not.
Joe, overrated though?
Yes, they're overrated, Tony.
Oh, my God, overrated. A peanut butter, and I'll go peanut butter. Whoa. Way at the top of the list.
Hey, I learned a lot from watching Joe.
Joe Madden with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Okay, nice.
It is so great to be here at the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage here in the Score studios. We get the opportunity every Tuesday to talk with Joe Madden, and he was nice enough to come hang out here with us in front of a sea of Cub fans that are here. Joe, welcome. Your timing could not have been better.
We did time that well. We got lost coming over a little bit because I still don't drive in Chicago other than going from my place to Wrigley Field. It's confusing around here with all the different, the way the roads interconnect and the L's and the loops and all that other kind of stuff. So it's only my fifth year. Give me time.
You got a little bit of time to try and get to the city.
Right.
These people are here because they wanted to be here and be a part of this and see you.
Cool.
And they have been here for an hour waiting for you.
Really? I was at the coffee shop. I do my coffee shop every morning. I do the lineup. I just got done with the lineup. I do my bulletproof coffee. I love that. It's like a morning ritual, right? And I've been doing it over a year, right? And I'm a really big believer in this stuff. The MCT oils and the ghee and the coffee, little mix it up. I really think there's some cognitive advance. I really do. Anyway, I did that. And then we got here just in the nick of time. Always look forward to this. I've been working with this guy all year, and I want to tell you what a pleasure it is to work with Lawrence on a weekly basis. It really is. Yeah, it's true. He gets it. He gets it. He's a very bright man, and we've had a wonderful interaction all year. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you, because when the beat reporters told me that you said that about me, I was like, they're all lying, and they're just trying to make me look bad.
Oh, the writers would never lie. Are you kidding me?
No, that would never happen.
Never happen, right.
But thank you for being here. I want to get to some fun stuff, but we got business to talk about when it comes to your team. So let's start with Willie. Let's start with Willie being down for what it looks like about 4 weeks. How do you manage that, and what does it mean that he's not on your roster right now?
Well, I mean, he's what he does defensively. Also, everybody looks at offense. What Willie does defensively, he shuts down the other teams. Tonight, Johnny Lester's pitching. This will be without Willie catching him. So tonight it's going to be Caratini. So there's that thing that they got going on, just the two of them. But Wilson brings a lot of energy, as you've seen. He's a very emotional young man. There's a lot of emotion, a lot of energy. Beyond his offensive capabilities, when he's in the lineup, the lineup gets longer. We just had that for a couple of days once we got Castellanos. And then you had Wilson in there also. It looked really, really good. So now all of a sudden, Wilson's not available. So there's length in the lineup, home runs, RBIs, really good at-bats. But When the other team does their pre-series meetings with Wilson catching, you pretty much don't even think about running. And that's a big part of what takes a load off your pitcher's mind. So we'll miss him for this month or so, whatever it's going to be. But he brings a lot more to the table than sometimes people realize.
So is Victor going to carry the bulk of this?
Yeah. Yeah, Victor. See, the other thing, Victor's looking for opportunity also. And Victor's really good behind the plate. He's a very good receiver. He blocks the ball well. He's very sharp. He's a very calm young man. He doesn't get caught up in the hot moment. Last night you watch. If you really watch, when you go out to the mound in a tight situation and everybody gathers, you could look in guys' eyes and talk to them. And Victor's definitely present tense. So he forward. So we're good about that. Taylor Davis is here to back him up right now. And of course, our guys are still scouring the wires. So there's we're going to be fine. It's every team goes through difficult moments. We're going through ours.
Last week, you and I were talking about Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah.
And we were talking about a little dip in velo. Now we find out that he had a little something going on with the knee on Saturday, and he goes on the IL. And last night was your first opportunity to kind of roll the dice and see how you were going to put it together. Had you already figured out how you were going to use the guys at the back end of the bullpen, or did the game dictate that you had to make changes?
No, theory was in place, but it didn't work. Once we got through Wick getting out of the inning with the double play against Chapman, I really liked the idea of just going C-Sheck Kinsler ball game. But, of course, Sheck had a tough night, and which is going to happen. And that's we've talked about this at length. The relief pitchers have this really impossible standard to live up to. They're supposed to be perfect every time they play the game of baseball. Sheck had a tough night last night. This guy's one of the most reliable pitchers in baseball. So we had a tough night, and then all of a sudden here came Kinsler. I wanted maybe the most to try to get four outs out of Brandon, but it turned out we needed to try to get five. And then he throws a pitch and feels something in his pec area. He walks off the mound, and all of a sudden he's unavailable for the ninth. And so then again, you have to go to plan what, C or D at this point. And here comes Kyle Ryan, who's been really good, but the matchups weren't optimal for him either. But he gets the two quick outs. Here comes Davis, and that was a tough one. And this guy's good, but he tried to make his pitch according to how we wanted to pitch him. Didn't throw the strikes. He walks, Pinder pinch hit, singled out. Here we go. These are the I'm just giving you the thoughts that occur. So he's going well, gets two quick outs, walk, base hit. And you have to understand, under those circumstances, it's really hot last night. Another bad matchup's coming up for him. So I said, that's it. Let's just go to Phelps right here. And then a high fly ball to the left, and eventually it stays in the ballpark. So there's a lot going on. We do with Tommy Hotovy and the rest of the staff, Lester Strode and Lowe and some other guys, Brad Mills. We sit in my office before every game, and I map out relief pitching based on situations. And theory and reality, when they come together, it's a beautiful thing. And when they are opposed, then it becomes planned like C, D, and E. So that's what happened last night. A lot of really good, reliable guys in our bullpen. Love this group. And last night, because Sheck had a tough night, we had to go in a different direction.
I asked the group that's in front of us here in our studio what they were feeling when Semien hit the ball. So let me ask you. Because your vantage point in the dugout is not always great. When you heard the contact, what were you thinking? Were you like, oh, we might as well get someone else up and start thinking about
it? I thought it wasn't going out. I thought it was hit too high. I know the wind was blowing out, but it didn't have the right trajectory. We've hit that same ball to left field there often. Even with the wind blowing out, it went up. If it did this at all, it was way gone. But it hit it too far straight up. And I thought I really thought it was going to be caught. I know a lot of people didn't, but the moment it left the bat, I thought we were okay.
All right, so now you have a team that's won four in a row. And the word that I've been using over the last couple days is resilient. Mm-hmm. That's the word that comes to mind with this group, where every time we think, and look, before the All-Star break, you and I talked about it, the games in Pittsburgh where you're like, oh, man, this feels like a disaster, and you guys figure out a way out of it. Yeah. Series against the Cardinals earlier in the year, series against the Cardinals this last week, where things look bad, and then you come home and you figure something out, and now you won four in a row. What do you think it is about your team that gives them that resilience?
Wrigley Field. You know, we've just been two different teams. You look at our record on the road and at home, even if we're 500 on the road, just 500, which is normally what you can do, God, we're in good position right now. But we've not been able to play well on the road. That's it. I can't give you a good reason. There is not a good reason. Like last night's game is another example. Had that game been played in Oakland, the result may have been different, just based on us being on the road. At home, we seem to gather something, some kind of strength at the end of the game that permits. So I don't have any solid interpretation. However, when you have a bad series, you just move on to the next one. I mean, I know from a fan's perspective, I get it. Listen, I did that for years. But from where we're at in the dugout and among the group, you just got to move on to the next moment. And believe me, 2 months left in the season is a lot of time. So when you panic or whatever the word might be, or lose faith or whatever, a non-believability, then you pretty much should go home. But your group of professionals, we've done pretty well over the last 4 years. So the guys together know that we can come out of these moments, and you know you can. You get a hot team, maybe a hot team, some hot pitchers, some bad matchups. And maybe you guys, like we've had a bunch of guys just flat ill lately, and that we fought through that. I mean, like some really GI kind of stuff going on, and fever and things like that, and they played through it. Schwarber had a great game the other day, and before the game he was absolutely in the horror. So there's a lot that goes into a season. You got to keep moving it forward. You got to believe in what you're doing, and when you do that, you could withstand a tough series in Pittsburgh or St. Louis.
This hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Heads up.
You should probably wait until the NCAA tournament.
Snip.
That's a good time.
From the office.
Get yourself some frozen peas. Joe Madden Show right? is presented right. by snip, Magellan snip, snip, snip. Corporation.
When Jan cannot make up her mind, right? It was awesome.
can we talk about Javier Baez for a minute? Because I remember you being the guy when you first got here, and you were looking at Baez and saying, guys, he needs to be on a roster.
Yeah.
And now, yesterday was the 5-year anniversary of his major league debut, and he does all the Javi stuff again last night. What was it that you saw in that moment where you said, guys, this guy is a pro, and how have you seen him mature from then to now?
Well, when I got the job before the first season, I went to Puerto Rico and watched him play. That was part of the gig, was for me to go down there and get to know him a little bit better, so I flew down to San Juan Bayamon, the ballpark there, and Eddie Perez was his manager at that time. Eddie and I go way back. So I go there and I sit and I watch the game and I talk to Javi, and I'm watching the one game, and he didn't hit anything that day, but that didn't matter. He made a play to his left at second base that was substantial, and then his base running acumen. For me, a lot of times a young player is going to demonstrate their baseball instincts by what they do on the bases. Even as a scout, I started doing that in 1981. I scouted, and I would really be in tune to watching guys run the bases. And when a guy showed you really good instinct on the bases, I would really perk up. And sometimes when a guy didn't, that's gonna continue. It's hard to coach bad base running out of a guy, to the point where we actually, when I was with the Angels, we took a player to instructional league and said, don't bring your glove or a bat. You're just going to run the bases. And it didn't do him any good because the guy just didn't see things. Running backs, think about all the great running backs you've ever seen, or point guards that you've been around. They see things that other guys don't see. Javi sees things on the field more quickly than anybody else can. And he demonstrated that to me in San Juan on that one particular game. Go to spring training, I'm watching him at second base, and you look and you see the plays he's capable of making and everything about him. Again, his baseball instinct is so high. So I thought, even at that time, I said, we're a better team when he's on the field. However, we did send him back, and he eventually did come back up, and things did change. But when you're looking at a young player, to me, like I'm saying, there's a lot of intangible that goes into it. And either you can see it as a scout or you can't either. I mean, these are things, you know, I don't know what you guys do, and I couldn't do your businesses as well as you can either. But this goes back to the training that I had, and really, and I've talked about this often, my scouting training is probably the most important part of my background regarding what I do today, and people have no idea what that means. When you could understand and see a player before he comes Javi Baez, or before he becomes, I don't know, in the past, I had some guys in different organizations, Darren Erstats or Timmy Salmon Fish. I had a hard time getting him drafted as high as he did. He was my draft pick. I thought he should have been in the first round. He went all the way to the third. You have to see things in advance of, and I really, really rely heavily on my scouting background.
Do you think that more managers would benefit from playing a role in their development coming up and being in the scouting department?
Yes. I think, you know, a lot of times having played in the major leagues to become a manager is highly overrated, which would be, for me, the more valuable training is being a scout and a minor league manager. That's much more valued for me. I'm not just saying that because that is me. I never played in the big leagues. But that has nothing to do with what I do here now, had I played or not played. And a lot of times that's held as a standard bearer to become a major league manager. I don't think it's as much as it had been in the past. A lot of times that was just based on the players themselves needing that, the fact that this fellow had actually done what I had done in order to listen to him, which is really a bad method. Football coaches a lot of times never had played there, or even some basketball coaches. So, yes, for me, I've encouraged David Ross as an example. When, you know, Dave was done playing, I loved the guy to death. I mean, I said, David, I would recommend that you go out and scout at free agent for a bit and actually manage rookie ball for at least one summer to really gain a feel of all of this and to be able to recognize talent before it becomes talent and understand when it comes to teaching and coaching. That's the level that challenges you, man, that early on group. Wow. There's so many things to iron out, whereas when you get to the double and triple A level, it's much more difficult, especially, and then even say here, to really understand or see when somebody's going poorly. The mechanical component that's off is microscopic a lot of times. And I've had this conversation with several players recently. So when you get to go back there, and I mean, I did Idaho Falls, and I did Salem, Oregon in rookie ball, and I did Peoria, Illinois, and A-ball, that's where you really learn and understand how to do this. Last point, and I'll shut up about that, is like the other day, with all the injuries that are going on, I've talked to the writers about this. My minor league training really comes to the forefront right now. When all of a sudden somebody gets hurt, you get somebody new in, or things aren't right, working properly, you have a foundation to draw from. And a lot of guys that just get thrust into the roles right now, don't necessarily have that background. So that's a separator for me that I really appreciate.
Another guy that you've been very vocal and week to week, you know, I'll say, Joe, what's up with you, Darvish? And you're like, just wait. The guy's got the stuff. You're going to see it. We're seeing it now. Yeah. You look at what he's done since June, where his whip, I want to say, has been 0.8 something. He's walked 10 guys in his last 11 starts.
Right.
How did Darvish get himself back on track? And what does that do for you guys that he is?
The thing with him, last year he was not feeling 100%. Plus, I just think coming to Chicago and fitting into the Cub culture and the city itself, it took him a while to warm up. Not warm up to, but just get used to, kind of a thing. And so there was a lot of things that were just a little bit off. But you could see when he threw the slider on occasion and it was right, wow, it's just a different breaking ball. He has a split finger fastball that most guys aren't unable to throw that he's outstanding with. The big difference was he didn't know where his fastball was going at all, I thought, last year. Now he does. And that's why the whip is so low, the walks in, hit sprinting pitch, because he knows where his fastball is going. And when that happens, my God, these other pitches become even better, if you could understand. So he has Yu's biggest adjustment has been, I think, he's breathing more easily on the mound at Wrigley Field A. And believe me, that matters. It matters for all of us when we're able to control our emotions, slow the moment down, live in the situation, and not – anxiety lives in the future. When you can stay away from the future mentally and just stay right here, you can do what you're capable of doing. If you're unable to control that concern about that next thing that may occur, that's when you are unable to perform the task at hand. He has slowed it down. And now the fastball is going exactly where he wants it to go. The slider, you see, he's buckling left-handers with his slider sometime. And now the split becomes pertinent and his confidence cannot be higher. I made the comment, I think he's pitching as well as anybody in the National League right now. And there's some really good guys out there having nice seasons, but this body of work for the last couple of months is hard to beat.
It really is. Yeah. And does he, to you, when you talk to him, does he feel and look more comfortable just being in the clubhouse and being with the guys?
Yeah, yes. And you have to understand, because people don't really know him around here, this is a real humble young man. He is very humble. His son is one of the best little athletes I've ever seen and one of the most polite kids I've ever met in my life. And I told you, I said, that is a reflection of you. You have to understand that. By meeting your son, that tells me a lot about you, to you. And sometimes it gets confusing. But it is. His kid is a wonderful little boy, family man, great. He's a humble guy. And that's part of probably why it took him a little bit time to morph into this whole culture here, getting used to the city of Chicago and the fan base. And now he is. Now they're yelling, "You," as he walks off the mound after another great inning. So,
how's that feel for you as his manager?
I'm just so happy for him. I'm happy for him because he's gone through a lot. Listen, the guy's well taken care of. He's accomplished a lot. Of course, his financial future is set, but nevertheless, he's a human being with fears and emotions and whatever. Right now, he's feeling good about himself, and that's why you're seeing all this wonderful, this wonderful result.